This coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Re'eh, which begins, of course, with the ever-popular word Re'eh. Re'eh is said in the singular, see, behold. But then the pasuk shifts to Lefnechem in the plural. Why the grammatically inconsistent shift? So the Klei Yakar suggests that the answer can be found in the Gemara, where Chazal tells us that each person should see himself as chatzi zakai and chatzi chai, at 50% merit, 50% demerit, and his very next action will sway his destiny. And furthermore, he should look at the world as 50% chayev and 50% zakai, and that his actions will impact the whole world. And this is why Moshe Rabbeinu highlights the singular and the plural. We're responsible for our own actions, says Klei Yakar, but we also have the ability to impact the whole world. The great Gaon Rav Asher Weiss notes that this idea is not just metaphysical. Every action we take impacts others in the real world. They look at what we do, and we serve as either a positive or a negative influence, and that's something to think about. We're also told that a person has a responsibility to realize that he has an ability to not proceed. Ish kol hayashar beinav tasa. Lo sasu, you should not do kechol asher anachnu osim po hayom. That which we do today, ish hayasha bein aviasa, that whatever a person feels like. You know, Rebelskis denote that there are errors in history where bamos were permitted, and others when they were not. And so we also find times when all was okay in Jewish history, except for the fact that rakha bamos lo saru, that the bamos weren't removed. So how are we supposed to understand those periods in time? Rebelski explained that bamos are symbolic of a Jewish general trend to feel Judaism instead of stopping to think about what Hashem wants. Bamos are about what we feel instead of what Hashem asks us to do. A responsibility sometimes in our lives to realize that Yiddishkeit is not just what we want. Yiddishkeit is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects from us. And we're also told when we see Kenani Avodah Zarah, we have a responsibility. Lo saseh kein l'Hashem elokecha. Don't do the same to Hashem. We're also told to make sure we don't imitate Kenani Avodah Zarah in our Avodah Hashem. Rashi assumes we're afraid that we might succumb to Avodah Zarah itself. But Ramban is more afraid that we're going to incorporate Avodah Zarah practices in our service of Hashem. Ibn Ezra and Sforno and Chizkuni all agree with the Ramban over here, that it's not just that we're going to follow idolatrous practices, but we're going to claim them and use them for ourselves. Rav Schachter applied this idea, called Avodas Elokim Zara, the service of Hashem, but in a foreign way, to include idolatrous practices and foreign ideologies utilized in the service of Hashem. That even these practices have a negative assimilating effect and have proved not to be useful in preserving the nation in the long run. So a person has to think about those things. We have so often where we've actually sort of not taken that to our stride, and yet so often we see people saying, but why can't we do this? Everybody else does it. Why can't we have an organ? And why don't we have musical tefillah? Sometimes these things are very dangerous. We're told, ki yisischa achicha ben imecha, and we have a concept of a mesis. Why is it that the mesis, who through one-on-one conversation entices a Jew to engage in Avodah Zarah, why is he treated with harsher instructions than the Navi Sheker? As far as by the fact that the mesis, we're told that in addition to the death penalty, we're also supposed to be lo sachmol olav, to show no mercy. So the Altar of Kelm explains that the one-on-one interactions can have more impact than the person who addresses a larger audience. And so it follows that the reward for those who try to influence Jews positively in a one-on-one dialogue is exponentially greater. So on the one hand, the mesis can have greater destruction. On the other hand, and in the counter perspective, in terms of construction, there's greater that can happen over here when we engage in one-on-one. Sometimes we think it's only the guys who have the biggest podcasts with the biggest impact that makes the difference in life, but that's not the case. It's really more the person himself. I remember once, I don't remember the context, but I remember once one of the greats in the world of Kiruv being very upset at being called a Kiruv worker, because he wasn't interested in being a Kirov worker. He dealt with people. He wasn't in the business of Kirov. And so he said, please don't identify me as a Kirov worker. I don't want to be a Kirov worker. I want to be a person who cares about Jews and brings and deals with Jews. That's the effect, the positive end, the positive perspective, that the negative impact is the mesis. We're also told, v'nasan lecha rachamim v'richamcha be'erbecha, in regard to the Ira Nidachas, the city where the overwhelming majority of the people are of the Avodah Zarah, it seems odd that mercy and the destruction of an entire city seems to be connected. Those are incongruous ideas. So how are we to reconcile these opposing positions? So Zalman Saratskin, the Lutzker Rav, explains that the children are not killed, and the mercy, therefore, the rachamim, is for the children. They should be adopted by other families. But the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rav Nachman Mendel Schneerson, suggested that the Gemara notes that an Ir Nidachas can occur, since if it would, everything would need to be burned in it, including the mezuzahs. And since one can't burn the name of Hashem, the city wouldn't be destroyed because of the mezuzah. And so therefore, says the Rebbe, if I hear of an Ir Nidachas, I'd go running in the middle of the night to put a mezuzah on the door, to put that Jewish influence that would save the city. We have a responsibility to go ahead and put that influence in our lives and to make sure that we don't lose cities in the process. And maybe that's one of the great things that is going on in the world at large of Kirov, that people are reaching out even to places where they're God-forsaken, and yet still HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it so that somewhere there'll be a bit an eschemetz of Yiddishkeit there so that it doesn't become an Ir HaNidachas. We're told the man tomad liyiras Hashem elokecha kol hayamim, that you should learn to fear Hashem. The idea of ma'aser sheni being a source of yiras Hashem all of the days seems odd. Surely there are other ways to inspire yiras Hashem. So why do we use ma'aser sheni? Why is that suggested by the Torah as a basis for leman tomad liyira? Rav Amital suggested that this is the power of Yerushalayim, especially in the time of the Mikdash, that even eating the fruit there increases Yerushalayim. Sometimes even the mundane can bring us to recognize Hashem, and that's something we need to hold on to. We're told, Ki lo yachdal avyon mikarav aretz, the destitute shall never cease from the world. Now, if this is indeed a fact of life, why does the Kohen Gadol daven on Yom Kippur for a year that Am Yisrael shall not be dependent on one another? Shall Yitzchaku b'nei Yisrael lo zel zev lo alam acher? Why daven for that if it's a tefillah shav? If it's something that's always going to be there. And so citing Rav Chaim Kanievsky in support, Rabbi Stephen Przanski explains that there's a difference between earning a living and helping a person stand on his own two feet. That even if a person needs some degree of assistance, the idea that a Jew needs to feel as if he or she is lesser a person and dependent on another is quite the undesirous thing for the Jewish people, and quite the thing that we don't want to see happen. And that's what we mean. Ki lo yachdal avyon mikarav aretz. But yet you can make make somebody stronger and more whole as a result. Finally, in the Haftorah, we're going to read Aniyasara Lo Nuchama. The agitated pauper does not get any comfort. Now, after last week's Haftorah, it promised that Hashem brought the children back to Yerushalayim. Why is Tzion still not getting Nechama? So Zecharia Tubi, the Rosh Kol Le Rabbanus in Kerem B'Yavna, quoted the Yalkut Shimoni, who notes that the pauper here refers not to one without money, but rather a poverty of Torah, of tzaddikim, and of good actions. And so therefore, the Haftorah continues, Tzion is not comforted by the big crowds and the fancy buildings made of the fancy stones. The real nechama for Tzion is the fact that her children are all learning, and all of them are living Torah lives in the process. And that's one of the great things that we will also continue to hope to see and earn. And maybe through the process, HaKadosh Baruch will make sure to bring us to a Shabbat Shalom, and a Shabbat Shalom to all.